कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी
जय गोपी जन
जय यशोदा नंदना जय प्रज जन रंजना
जय यशोदा नंदना जय प्रज जन
रंजना जय यमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी
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 जय यमुना तीर
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे
जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय श्री श्री राधा माधव की
जय
श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रमई की
जय
श्रीला प्रभुपाद की
जय
श्रीला गुरुदेव की
नितय
गौर प्रेमानंद
हरिहरि
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति नैष्ठिकी बाय रेगुलर अटेंडेंस इन क्लासेस ऑन द भागवतम एंड बाय रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द प्योर डिवोटी ऑल दैट इज ट्रबलसम टू द हार्ट is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So, thank you very much for coming together in the morning, and I apologize for being late. We are gathered here because, is it today the appearance of Madhavi? It's actually today, yeah? So see, she's a July baby then. I think in our congregation we have quite a few July babies. So today, because of her appearance, Bhagavatam appears. So this is the greatness of devotees. In fact, because of the mercy of devotees, especially when they come in the form of children, you find that somehow or another the adults are forced to become devotees. Even if we become slackened in our devotional service, when we think that our children will not benefit because we are not doing what we should, then somehow or another, on account of our children, we become better devotees. This is the Lord's mercy actually. That somehow or another He finds our attachment and He uses that attachment so that we can grow in our devotional service. That is why nothing in this material world cannot be used in Krishna's service actually. Practically speaking, everything can be channeled towards Krishna. And the fact that we want to celebrate the appearance of Madhavi in such a way that it will be the most auspicious for her spiritual life, this is very important. And anywhere where we can hear Bhagavatam, even for 5-10 minutes, is considered to be highly auspicious. This is why Prabhupada created our society. So that we can come together and hear about Bhagavatam. Actually, that is the reason why Prabhupada wanted us to come together. All other activities, actually, at the root, the nourishment is Bhagavatam and chanting. Without Bhagavatam and chanting, the activities can very quickly become material. But when we have Bhagavatam very firmly placed in our hearts, then no matter what happens, somehow or another, Krishna, in the form of Bhagavatam, and the spiritual master in the form of the walking Bhagavatam, they can guide us. That is why all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. The only reason why the word almost is there is because as long as we have this sharir, the almost must be there. Until we end this life, that part is always going to be there. So there's a nice verse actually from 6th Canto, 2nd chapter. 2nd chapter, is it 15 there? 16th. 16th. I remember going through this verse many years ago, and it was some of the verses that my Guru Maharaj told me to write down because it has a very important point. And because it is one of the few verses in Bhagavatam where Prabhupada makes specific reference to the purports of previous acharyas. In this case, it is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When Prabhupada writes such purports, speaking about other acharyas speaking on the purports, we realize how much he digested and assimilated and then made it palatable for us to eat, you see. So this is one of the verses in Bhagavatam. You find very few of this, but here Prabhupada makes specific reference to an earlier purport. So let's chant. Guru Nam Cha Lagunam Cha.
Guru Nam Cha Lagunam Cha.
Guru Ni Cha Laguni Cha.
Guru Ni Cha Laguni Cha.
Prayas Chittani Papana.
Prayas Chittani Papana.
Nyadvoktani Maharishibihi.
Nyadvoktani Maharishibihi.
Guru Nam Cha Lagunam Cha.
Guru Nam Cha Lagunam Cha.
Guru Ni Cha Laguni cha.
Guru ni cha laguni cha.
Prayas chittani papana.
Prayas chittani papana.
Nyat boktani maharishibi.
Nyat boktani maharishibi.
Guru nam cha lagunam cha.
Guru nam cha lagunam cha.
Guru ni cha laguni cha.
Guru ni cha laguni cha.
Prayas chittani papana.
Prayas chittani papana.
Nyadvoktani Maharishibihi.
Nyadvoktani Maharishibihi.
Maybe we can have one Prabhu to recite.
Guru Namcha Lagunamcha.
Guru Namcha Lagunamcha.
Guru Nicha Lagunicha.
Guru Nicha Lagunicha.
Prayaschittani Papana.
Prayaschittani Papana. Nyagvoktani Maharishri.
Matajis.
Guru Nam Cha Lagunam Cha.
Guru Nam Cha Lagunam Cha.
Guru Ni Cha Laguni Cha.
Guru Ni Cha Laguni Cha.
Prayaschittani Papana.
Prayaschittani Papana.
Nyagvoktani Maharishri.
Nyagvoktani Maharishri.
Please repeat the transliterations. Guru Nam.
Guru Nam.
Hevi.
Hevi.
Cha.
Cha.
N. Lagu Nam.
Light.
Light. Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Guruni.
Guruni.
Hevi.
Hevi.
Cha.
Cha.
N. Laguni.
Laguni.
Light.
Light.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Prayas Chittani. The processes of atonement.
Papanam.
Papa Nam.
Of sinful activities.
Nyatva.
Nyatva.
Knowing perfectly well.
Well.
Uktani. Have been prescribed.
Maharishibihi.
By great sages.
By great sages.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. Authorities.
Authorities.
Who are learned scholars.
Who are learned scholars.
And sages.
And sages.
Have carefully ascertained.
Have carefully ascertained.
That one should atone.
For the
heaviest
sins
by undergoing
a
heavy process of atonement.
And
one should atone
for
lighter sins
by undergoing
lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however,
vanquishes
all the effects of sinful activities,
regardless
of whether heavy or light. Please hear the purport. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes an incident that took place when Samba was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Samba fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhana. And since according to Kshatriya custom, one is not offered a Kshatriya's daughter unless he displays his chivalrous valor, Samba abducted her. Consequently, Samba was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Samba's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapur trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled. and Samba married Duryodhana's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayana. I'm just going to read the part where it says the purport. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reaction of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayana. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Namatamitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Hove Dvishe Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse is actually happening at the point of the episode of Ajamil. And we all know that Ajamil's sins were literally like the limits of the ocean. That means limitless. In fact, by the time Ajamil reached his 80th year in this world, he had so much of sinful activities that practically speaking, he was the most fitting candidate to take darshan of Yamaraj. And that's not a very good thing actually. But he was ready. His actions defined who he was. And this is very important for us in spiritual life. We should always remember that no matter how much we read and how much we study, finally, if Bhagavatam cannot be translated into behavior, then it is in the sky. It is just something that looks very nice on maybe our resume, but it means nothing. If after all the Bhakti Sastris and the Bhakti Vaibhav and the Bhakti Vedanta, if after all the causes that we go for, if it cannot translate into action, if our actions are not pleasing enough to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and inspire the hearts of the devotees, then we have still not gotten the point. This is the point we have to understand. That is why Bhagavatam is actually about behavior. Bhagavatam is not about knowledge. The Brahmanas who don't take up Bhagavatam, if you go to any temple, they may not know Bhagavatam, but the moment you speak one shloka, they will speak 100 shlokas. We cannot stand in front of them. We can't. But the only thing we have is that we have the shelter of Bhagavatam. This is very important. And this shelter is enough as the most powerful boat to make us cross the ocean. All other things will fall away. But chanting and study of Prabhupada's books, Srimad Bhagavatam in particular, these two are sufficient for us to go back to Godhead. So that is why this verse is very important. Because in this verse, it is very nicely stated that authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained why we have to understand this is being important is we do not ascertain these things. We follow parampara. If our seniors and our spiritual masters have ascertained something based on Shastra, then we simply have to follow it. We don't have to cause other speculation. We just follow it. And what is their conclusion? Their conclusion is that no matter how heavy the sin is in this world, then that sin, whether heavy or light, just by taking the shelter of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then all the sinful activities, all the effects of the activities, whether heavy or light, they will go. This is important. Sometimes we are so caught up with rituals that we think that I'm having bad time because of some previous sinful activity. So this kal is there and this dosh is there. And like that, we get into the complicated idea of trying to counteract the sins with prayaschitta. Sometimes we are told we have to do this, you have to do that. But very frankly, there is nothing in Bhagavatam that suggests that except for chanting of the holy names of the Lord and scrutinizingly following the process of devotional service, there is no need for any other external arrangements. Really, there is no need. This is the meaning of unalloyed devotional service. If the father is the head of the house, then we only have to listen to him. Why to listen to uncles? Why to listen to this mama and that mama? There's no need to. In fact, they complicate the matters. Those who only listen to their father, they go back to father. If you want to listen to cousins and sisters and brothers and uncles, then you'll go to uncles and brothers and sisters and you won't come to father. This is very important. So there may be other regulatory processes of atoning for sins. But as Vaishnavas and following this, we don't really need to do that. Why? Because as Prabhupada says in the purport, we have full faith in the all-protective power of Krishna and his first expansion, Lord Balram. That is sufficient for us. We don't need anything else. Now tomorrow Rath Yatra is there. We have to depend on the protective power of the Lord. If we depend on our power, our capabilities, if we depend on how much publicity we did and who we called and what we did, then that will make us very disappointed. If tomorrow Krishna wants, 10,000 people may come. Tomorrow Krishna doesn't want, 50 people may come. But either way, we must be at the lotus feet of Krishna. It is not the result that matters. It is whether we are performing it by remembering Krishna that matters. After performing an activity, and that activity is such that we get so much material results, but we have no spiritual potency, then what is the use of that? That is also not important. This is the meaning of unalloyed. We should not work in such a way that we create expectations. The moment we expect something, it is not unalloyed. It is mixed. It is completely mixed. Unalloyed means whatever we do it for the pleasure of the Lord. What comes is entirely the prasad that is offered by the Lord to us. That is all. That's what we must do. So we must remember this when we take up devotional service. And Prabhupada says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about this example of a very nice episode from Krishna book actually. If you read Krishna book, I don't know which part of it is, but I know the title is about Samba. And you know that Samba was actually the son of Jambavati and her union with Lord Krishna. And you know that Jambavati's brother was the great devotee, Jambavan. So you know that she was a very great, powerful demoness. And at the same time, no, she was not demoness. She was a great devotee. Her brother was a very exalted devotee. And, sorry, bro? Father. I keep saying brother. Her father was a very exalted devotee. And you also know that Krishna, when he decides that he wants to bestow power on anyone, then that is the Lord's protective power. Bestowing power of spiritual life on someone is actually the ultimate benediction and protection of spiritual power. So in this case, we know in Krishna book that Samba was actually a very powerful personality in himself. And if you read in Krishna book, Prabhupada describes him as also a Maharathi, which means he's a very powerful warrior himself. You know, in Mahabharata, you had, you know, different levels of warriors. You have the lowest, which is known as Ekarathi, and of course the highest is known as Maharathi. Maharathi means he would be able to fight tens and tens and tens of thousands of soldiers at one time, whereas Ekarathi would be able to fight much less at one time. And if you and I were to calculate what we can do, we can't even fight with one person at one time. So Maharathi was very powerful. But we also understand from Krishna book that one time, you know, Samba actually became very attracted to the cherished daughter of Duryodhana, and her name was Lakshmana. And she was very beautiful, and of course she was the object of affection of her father. Now, to appreciate this problem, you know, we have to understand that Duryodhana was from the Kuru dynasty, and Samba would be from the Yadu dynasty. Yadu dynasty's head was King Ugrasena. And Kuru dynasty, of course, very illustrious. They were made up of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And of course, if you talk about actual head of the Kuru dynasty, all Sastras agree that it was not really Dhritarashtra or Pandu, but it was actually Bhishma Dev. If you really study Sastra carefully, and in Bhagavatam, in the purports, Prabhupada says actually the real sun, the real illumination of the Kuru dynasty is Bhishma Dev, because he is the grandsire of the entire dynasty. So Samba wanted to marry someone who came from the Kuru dynasty, and he was from the Yadu dynasty. Now we heard there was a Swayamvar, and that Lakshmana was going to be put up, you know, in a Swayamvar ceremony where she would be able to select who is the best bridegroom for her. So as Prabhupada writes in the purport, if someone were to marry a daughter of a Kshatriya, then he has to qualify himself by fighting and showing that he is the most powerful. That was Kshatriya marriage basically. In Kshatriya marriage, you know, kidnapping, abducting, all this was very common, right? Today, and somehow or another, these were all accepted in society. Today, you kidnap someone and get married, you end up in jail. But in those days, if you were Kshatriya and you kidnap someone, all the Kshatriyas would say, he's really Kshatriya. There was no such thing as, you please come and get married to me, no. It was, you have to get married to me and I will catch you somewhere, or, you know, trap you somewhere, or like Krishna, you know, kidnap Rukmini. It would be a great act of valor. So Samba believed that he must qualify himself to actually get married to Lakshmana. Otherwise, even the Kuru dynasty will not recognize him. So what he did was, in the middle of Swayamvar, he turned up unannounced and uninvited. And Bhagavatam tells us, at the right opportune moment, he kidnapped Lakshmana. Of course, Lakshmana did not know who Samba was, basically. It was not, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, that she was in love with him. But then, that was how Kshatriya marriages were also. Sometimes forcibly a Kshatriya would exercise his power, and eventually, you know, Prabhupada writes that the lady would become so consumed and attracted by his power that she would fall in love with him. So this was the culture of the Kshatriya marriage. So at that point of time, in the middle of the assembly of the greatest, most powerful dynasty in the world, calling all the greatest, most powerful eligible bridegrooms, when Duryodhana and Kuru dynasty basically saw Samba just kidnapping Lakshmana and running away in a chariot, they became very upset. And they said that even though he's coming from Yadu dynasty, actually this is very bad. Because Yadu dynasty is powerful because of Kuru dynasty. This is what they felt. Now when I say Kuru dynasty, and if you read Krishna book, you'd be surprised who were the people of the Kuru dynasty who were against this marriage. Krishna book tells us Duryodhana was definitely against. Dhritarashtra was definitely against. Bhishma was against. Burishrava, another powerful general, was against. Vidur was against. And Arjuna's name is also mentioned in Krishna book. He was also thinking this is not correct. So this is one of the very few instances in Bhagavatam where the Pandavas and the Kauravas actually agreed. In fact, this may be the only episode in whole Bhagavatam where you find that Duryodhana and Arjuna actually sat down and say, hey, what a member of the Yadu dynasty did today was wrong. It is unprecedented. Never happened. But it's amazing, because when you read Krishna book, when I read it and I wrote down the names of the parties, I had to check again. Arjuna is there. Yes. If Arjuna is there, then the Pandavas were also there. So nobody approved of it. And you must understand why they did not approve of it. They said they could not approve of it because, factually speaking, though we are related to each other by way of marriage, the fact of the matter is, traditionally, the Kurus are emperors. They are now discussing. But the Yadus, they are tribal kings. In fact, because of their marriage into our dynasty, they upgraded themselves. You know, literally, I'm using a slang, of course, but there was an upgrade. From one package, they went up to another package. Why? Because we are the ones with all the prestige. We are the ones with the opulence. We are the ones who have the inherited right to rule the entire planet. They were just chieftains. And when they became connected to us, we even allowed them out of our causeless mercy to use the, you know, the marks, the insignias of the Kuru dynasty signifying royalty. This is how they spoke. And they felt that now Samba coming here to actually abduct a daughter of a member of the Kuru dynasty shows that they have crossed the line. Now they don't know where they stand actually. Now we have to teach them a lesson in such a way that they should understand where they stand. Now at that point of time, someone there mentioned, but actually, do they not have Krishna and do they not have Balaram in their dynasty? Isn't it very powerful? But the moment that argument was brought up, another argument was brought up. And that argument was brought up that even if Krishna and Balaram are in the Yadu dynasty, still the fact of the matter is the Yadu dynasty today is so great because of the Kuru dynasty's influence throughout the world. So this was the conclusion of the Kurus. And then they decided, let us dispatch 6 powerful Maharathis. And these Maharathis, you know, they will be the ones to actually re-kidnap, if you want to use that word, or regain Samba. Regain our daughter Lakshmana, right? And of course, make sure that Samba should not be killed, but he should be checked. He should be, a strong signal should be sent to the Yadu dynasty, that you may be great, but actually all the power is coming from us. So Prabhupada writes in the episode that actually the Kuru dynasty at this point of time became puffed up. By the power of the material energy of the Lord, sometimes Krishna arranges that even great devotees, they begin to think that they are greater than the Lord. This is not because of a defect of the Pandavas, for example, but it's a very important way for us to recognize that the Lord's energy is so powerful that the Lord wants to make a show or an example. He can do so even with His greatest devotees. And Bhagavatam is full of them. Lord Shiva's mastery of His senses is unparalleled. And yet, when the Lord appeared as Mohini Murti, and Lord Shiva was very sure that He could control His senses, the Lord showed Him that He could not control His senses. When Lord Brahma was creating the entire world, He was trying to control His senses. But even when He tried to control His senses and He created a woman so beautiful that technically she should be His daughter, though even He lost His senses and became attracted to her. When Markandeya Rishi in the 12th canto decided that I want from Naranarayana Rishi to understand the powerful illusory energy of the Lord and that I will not be swayed by it, then at that moment when the Lord decided to show him the power of His energy, Markandeya Rishi in that energy field lived and struggled for a million years in the ocean of disillusion, thinking that he was actually struggling, when actually all along he was sitting in his ashram and performing austerities. So that is why Prabhupada writes in this purport, if you see the purport, the protective power of Krishna and Balaram in this material world over us is very important. Very important. Because if their protective power, which is the internal energy of the Lord, is not something we take shelter of, then this material energy of the Lord will just wipe us away. If we could touch the Kuru dynasty members, exalted members of the dynasty, to that level where they begin thinking that we have to teach the Yadus a lesson, then why can't it touch us? This is the point we have to understand. We are nothing, nothing really. Not even bubbles, not even foam. We are less than that in this material ocean. So at that point of time, they decide, let us appoint 6 Maharathis. So Karna was one, Shala was one, Burishrava was one, Yagnashetru was one. Duryodhana, of course, said, I also must go because it is my daughter. And I believe last one, the leader of the entire 6 Maharathis was Bhishma Dev. Very formidable. Very, very formidable. In fact, one of these could have wiped out an entire army easily. But 6 decided to go. So as Samba was running away, you know, very, very victoriously with Lakshmana, he saw behind that the 6 Maharathis were catching up. And as he was running away, Karna was of course made commander-in-chief of the 6 Maharathis. And Karna now shouts to Samba and tells him, why are you running away, Kshatriya? Turn around and fight. And Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the best way to get a Kshatriya to fight is to challenge him. Right? If Kshatriya is running away, all you have to do to stop him and force him to turn around is, why are you running away? Now you have to fight. Because when a challenge to fight is thrown at a Kshatriya, he cannot run away. Huh? At that point, he cannot say, no, actually, I'm Brahmana, you know, I'm going to run away. Cannot change ashrams at that time. You are Kshatriya, you have to be Kshatriya. So Samba had no choice. He told Lakshmana, wait now, it is now my turn to fight with them. Now, there are rules of engagement in such Maharathi fights. And the general, logical, commonsensical rule of engagement is one Maharathi fights with another Maharathi at one time. But this time, the six Maharathis decided all six will fight with one Maharathi. So Prabhupada writes, Samba was very powerful. But how powerful can he be against six, not one? And that also we're talking about Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev is, you know, he's in the Maharathi category. But what to do? Such a category was never created. That's why we don't hear of him being there. Otherwise, he's at the top. So, Bhagavatam tells us that Samba actually earned the respect and admiration of the six Maharathis as he fought. Because while they were fighting him, they could not help but grudgingly admire, how is it that this young boy, Samba is a combination of Amba and Sir, right? It means very close to his mother. Huh? Amba in Sanskrit means mother, and Sa means to be close. So Samba means one who is very close. He was pet child of his mother. That means he grew up very spoiled. He was very, very spoiled. You know, when you become pet child of the mother, basically, right, you're protected for life. You know that, because mother is finance minister, she's prime minister, father is only ceremonial president. So even if the father chastises the son, who is the pet of the mother, he's not going to get very far. So even though Krishna was always telling the wife, you know, look at this son, you spoiled him, he couldn't do anything, because Samba was very powerful because of mother's blessings. So this very spoiled so-called personality, whom they could understand, was not very powerful. Suddenly he was fighting so amazingly. And they all admired. Bhishma Dev said, what great skill. Karna himself, full of envy, you know, for everyone except those who were with him. He could not help but admire. What skills with the arrows. And Duryodhana, the father of Lakshmana, he was thinking in his head, hey, this one is very good. It's very powerful, you know. You could almost think that the next step for him would think, actually, he's not so bad for my daughter, you know. There you go. So to that point, they were admiring. And it seems, if you read Krishna book, if I remember correctly, there's a little description Prabhupada gives, you know, of how Samba would shoot six arrows. The first six arrows would maim and cut down all the chariot wheels. All six arrows went to all six different chariots, and they actually got off all four wheels of each chariot in one shot. In the second shot, he would shoot six arrows, and they would hit all the charioteers of the six chariots. And they would be so wounded or that they would swoon, and the chariots would go hither and thither. In the third shot, when he shot the next six arrows, they would all pierce the shield and armor of the six Maharathis, such that their helmets would fall off, and they had to adjust their helmets again and come back and fight again. And this was going on. That was how powerful he was. But eventually Bhagavatam tells us, these are great powerful Maharathis. And eventually, because all six were fighting, even though Samba stood his ground, his chariots were broken, his horses were killed, his charioteer was killed, and only he was left. And though he was standing on foot and fighting with them, they were still on their chariots. They were still on their chariots. And when his bows were finished, when his quiver was left with no arrows, he took out his swords. And when his swords were cut into three pieces, he took out his shield. When his shield was smashed, he had nothing. He just used the chariot wheels and fought. And at the end, he was subdued by the six Maharathis. And though he said that this is very wrong in the conduct of warfare, none of them heard him. They just captured him. And the moment they captured him, they brought Lakshmana and him back to Hastinapur. And that is the capital of where they stayed. Now immediately word reached the Yadu dynasty. And only one person is capable of bringing this kind of news, isn't it? In whole Bhagavatam, only one person. And this is Narada Muni. Right? Nadamuni is CNN, BBC, Channel News Asia. He's rolled into one, except that everything he speaks and does is completely transcendental. Why did Naradaji want to spread the news very hastily? Bhagavatam tells us, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually tells us that he did that as a pure devotee would. Why? Because he understood that this is where he wanted to invoke the auspicious presence of the Lord in the hearts of the Kuru members. The Narada Muni could understand that the Kuru dynasty's pride had overtaken them. It had overtaken them. Atyakramat avinyataha. This is 1st canto, 13th chapter, 42nd verse. There, Vidur says to Dhritarashtra that when one becomes very attached to the material things like fame, prestige, glory, when one wants glorification from other people, it is all pride. The Kuru dynasty wanted glorification for their greatness. That is why they subordinated the Yadu dynasty. So when one feels that way, Vidur says to Dhritarashtra, Atyakraman avinyata. This is the point. That time, Krishna, in the form of imperceptible time, he will Atyakramat. Atyakramat in the word-to-word transliteration is overtake. Sometimes we think we know everything. And suddenly circumstances overtake us so fast that we are caught. And we don't know what to do. We become perplexed. So Krishna comes in the form of that time. And that time was coming. But Narada Muni wanted to hasten that time. He wanted the Kurus to come to their senses. And he knew the only way is to go back to the source of all sources. The director and controller of all senses. And that is Krishna. That's why Prabhu said, Mataji's, whenever you find that your devotional service is struggling, when you find that we are caught by pride and we are disturbed in our devotional service, please don't blame anyone. We have to just look inward. We have to realize that Atyakramat Avinyataha, that something defective in our hearts have been overtaken. That defectiveness has overtaken our consciousness. We should not blame others for our defects. The defect is because of our own lack of sadhana. The defect is because of our own lack of pure devotional service. No one to blame. If you don't blame anyone for these defects, you know how much time you save actually. In this world, time is so precious. Instead of blaming everyone and losing time over that, better we just pick ourselves up, go straight to Krishna and Balaram, take shelter of the holy name, as Prabhupada says in the last line of this purport. And by doing that, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. This is the way. This is what Narada Muni is teaching us. So when Narada goes to the Yadu, quickly, instant news, this is what has happened. The Yadu dynasty now becomes very upset. So King Ugrasena is called. And in the assembly of the Yadus, they discuss this. And now the Yadu dynasty's arguments are very important. They say that the Kauravas think they are very great. But do they realize who is the head of this dynasty? Yes, Ugrasena is the king. But this is the dynasty where the supreme personality of Godhead has appeared. Along with his expansion, Balaramji. It is the glory of the Yadu dynasty that has made the Kuru dynasty appear powerful. If not for the fact that Krishna is there, what will be the Pandavas' position? If Krishna did not protect the Pandavas through all the difficulties of the world, where would the Pandavas be? If Krishna and Balaram did not appear as the shining moons of the Yadu dynasty and gave their association to the Kuru dynasty, how can the Kuru dynasty be glorious? Pritheritam yad pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani. This is 2.9.34 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chatushloka, 2nd verse. Krishna tells to Brahma, anything that appears very valuable in this world, but if it is not connected to me, it has no value. Yatha bhaso yatha tamaha. Instead, it will drag you down like a reflection of darkness. You know, when you have reflection of darkness, it is very, already darkness is bad. Reflection of darkness is very, very bad. It's very difficult to understand where you are when you have reflected darkness. This is the point that Krishna, that the Kurus, the Yadus are saying. They were saying basically that they are nothing without us. So then the Yadu dynasty decided, we will have to form an army. And we will have to go out there and fight with the Kurus and save Samba. And since Samba has kidnapped Lakshmana, we will also bring Samba and Lakshmana back. That's all. Very simple. So this is one of the only times when the Yadu and the Kurus were ready to fight. Can you imagine if this battle took place? It will be even greater than Mahabharata. Think about it. What is Mahabharata? Mahabharata is just Kuru and Kuru, because they are from the same dynasty. But Yadus and Kurus, oh, this is a very powerful thing. Very powerful. So at that moment of heightened state of tension, Lord Balramji steps in. And Balramji decides in his heart, and then he speaks to the elder members of the Yadu dynasty, including Krishna. He tells everyone, why must we fight? Think of who the Kuru dynasty are. We are related. They have great exalted personalities like Bhishma Dev and the Pandavas. And they are our kith and kin because they are related to us. Let me do one thing. I have good relationship with Duryodhana. Of all things, huh? Amazing thing actually is the Lord, in his expansion as Balram, was always partial to Duryodhana. But the Lord as Krishna always stood with the Pandavas. So actually that shows Krishna is truly impartial. Isn't it? Truly impartial. On parallel lines, he is with the so-called villains, but he's equally with the devotees. This is greatness of Krishna. So Balram told the Yadus, cool down. Calm down. I know the Kauravas very well. I know the Pandavas very well. I'm happy to go and see them. I will sit down and tell them this is all a big misunderstanding. Okay? You don't have to worry about it. Just drop it. Doesn't matter. Finish. So the Yadavas, you know, the Yadus comprising of Rishni, Andaka, Bhoja, they all decided, okay, fine, this is correct. This is the right thing to do. Let us go. Let Balramji go. After all, Balramji is the person who is very powerful. He's so powerful, he'll settle it very nicely. Only thing, one thing Krishna was a bit worried, frankly, was that Balram, you know, is not as patient as I am. When he gets a bit angry, you know, he'll decide, that's it, I'm going to do something about it. But Krishna thought, well, if he wants to be mediator, let him go and be mediator. That's all right. So Balram then leaves with Brahmanas and a big group of retinue from Yadu dynasty, and they travel all the way from Dwarka to Hastinapur. Literally Dwarka to New Delhi. That's what it is. Not very near. No flights. But they went. And when he reached there, he stayed outside the borders of the city of Hastinapur. He stayed in a small house, and Balram said, Uddhava came with him. Now you go and tell the Kuru dynasty I'm here. And I've come here not as an emissary of Yadu dynasty. I've come here as mediator. That's it. So now when news goes to the Kuru dynasty that Balramji has come, who's very happy? Duryodhan immediately organizes a big group. They go out with elephants and gives and horses and chariots. They feed the Brahmanas. They take care of everyone who came with Balramji. They washed the lotus feet of Balramji. They applied sandalwood on him. They offered him camphor. Of course, they offered him nice prasad. And after he was very relaxed, they asked him how he was, how was his journey. And then Balramji decided, now that everything is very congenial, let me now tell you one thing. He said, now, my dear Kurus, hear me now. Yes, the Kuru dynasty is very powerful. But do not forget the greatness of the Yadu dynasty. The Yadu dynasty is not a material dynasty. It was purposefully chosen by the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that he could come into this dynasty. How much pure this dynasty must be. And now hear me on another point. Even in the rules of engagement, what you did to this young boy, engaging him with six Maharathis, is not even proper in Kshatriya code. It is not correct. Second, hear me now. It is the right of every Kshatriya to walk in and abduct someone whom he wants to get married. You all have done that many times. So what's wrong if a member of the Kuru of the Yadu dynasty does it also? It's because of the fact that you think you are greater than Samba and you did not approve, that you think that you are right. But actually what you have done is wrong. By the rules of engagement, such a Kshatriya abduction is correct. And if you want to fight, then fight. But my suggestion to you is, drop this now. Because wherever Krishna is, there will always be victory. That you cannot run away from. So if Krishna is with the Yadu dynasty, victory is with the Yadu dynasty. So in a commanding tone, Prabhupada used the word commanding tone. Doesn't sound like in a mediating tone. Huh? Because Balramji is Balramji. You know, he's Adi Guru. He came as mediator, but he's a commander. So ironically, while he came to pacify everyone, actually by the end of his discussion with the Kurus, it was not a discussion. It was, you do this and you do that. Very simple. Right? And his commanding tone upset the Kurus. they got upset. And again, they advanced the same arguments that they did before that. They said, why is Balramji coming all the way here to tell us what we should do? Do they not realize that whatever that they are able to do, now they are performing so much great, powerful things as rulers of their areas. But they are doing that using our insignia, using our symbols, right? It's like a sponsor, you know. You can use all that the sponsor uses because you are under the sponsor. But if the sponsor retracts, then you cannot do anything. So, in modern terms, the Kuru dynasty was thinking, we are the benefactors. Because of us, you have gained prestige. Again, the same argument came up. Even though Balramji was in front of them, they spoke that way, in front of him. Now, Balramji kept smiling, Krishna book says. But as soon as they left, because they left by not agreeing to Balram, they said that if it comes to the point where we have to fight the Yadus, we will fight. Because we have the greatest Maharathis. You can't even count the number of Maharathis in Kuru dynasty, but you can count the number of Maharathis in Yadu dynasty. But they forgot that they have Krishna and Balram. With Krishna and Balram alone, no Maharathis are needed. Just by a single glance, they can devastate, annihilate this entire universe. What is a Kuru dynasty? Nothing. But Prabhupada says, because of pride, because of illusion, because of their kingdom, because of aristocracy, because of family tradition, because they thought they were great warriors, and because they had a vast, expansive empire, because of all these things, the Kurus became very proud and they walked away. Now, Bhagavatam tells us that Balramji patiently heard them, but from his appearance it became very clear that he was losing his patience. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that his eyes had become like copper and he was breathing very heavily. And then he said something very powerful. He said that it is useless to give good advice to puffed up persons. Nice point. It is useless to give good instructions to puffed up persons. Why? Because puffed up persons are no different from animals. That's the second point. And he says, when you come to an animal, talking to it, hey, don't go there, don't go here, will not work. And he says, because animals are just animals, their consciousness is not very powerful. And Prabhupada uses a Latin phrase, because Balramji is now going to say, there is a way to treat animals. And you know what is the Latin phrase he uses? Argumentum vaculum. Argumentum vaculum. When I read it, I was very shocked. It's so amazing. Krishna book, Prabhupada uses a Latin phrase. I'm just wondering if it was word-to-word translation, transliteration, and he translated this part of Krishna book, how would he have put that? But he says, argumentum vaculum, meaning you should only treat an animal with a stick. Cannot use anything else. Where do you think Balramji is going now? Balramji is saying, I've spoken very nicely with them, but these people have turned out to be animals. Now there's only one way to treat them. Use a stick. That's the only way. So what does Balramji do? Balramji gets up from where he is. Remember, he's on the outskirts of Hastinapur. There's a reason why Balramji decided to be at the outskirts. So that when he uses a stick, it's going to be very convenient. Now, how does he use a stick? He takes his most powerful weapon. What is his weapon? The plow, isn't it? Right? His plow, the hoe. And normally when you use a hoe, you dig into the ground and then you take out the dirt. So when Balramji uses a hoe, he does that pretty much in the same way. He will dig into our hearts and he takes out all the dirt. There is mercy of Balramji. So Balramji then came to the edge of Hastinapur. Ganges flows just by Hastinapur. And he looked at Mother Ganga and he looked at the city of Hastinapur. Then at the point where he is, he dropped the plow into the earth. And when it went into the earth, Bhagavatam tells us, there came a tumultuous roar as if the ground was breaking. And then he pushed it deeper. And when he pushed it deeper, the entire Hastinapur, where everyone was sitting and relaxing, you know, after they had insulted Balramji, they were thinking they were king. Suddenly they felt the tremors of an earthquake. You read about it in the purport also. It felt like an earthquake. And they felt the entire city shaking. And of course, if they put two and two together, they will understand what is happening. Here they were speaking so insolently to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forgetting who he was and who they are. And then now, in a few moments, they heard the roar of Hastinapur. And now Balramji, after digging it in and finding a space there, he then started dragging the entire city of Hastinapur into Mother Ganga. An entire city, he was about to drag the entire city of Hastinapur and plunge it into Mother Ganga. Now at that time, Mother Ganga was not a small river. She was larger than most oceans. Huge. And Jiva Goswami, Shukadev Goswami and all the Goswamis, they say that that portion of Mother Ganga that flows past Hastinapur is actually considered Ganga and Yamuna. The Yamuna part is the part where Krishna performed his pastime near Vrindavan. But the rest of that part is Ganga. So Ganga and Yamuna are simultaneously Achintya Veda Veda. They are simultaneously one and different. So Lord Balram was so powerful, he decided, why to talk to them? Better throw the whole city into Ganga and let them just perish. That is the best way. Imagine, nobody would have thought of such a solution, isn't it? Right? Argumentum vaculum. This is what he meant. He was ready to do that. So immediately, the residents realized that the entire city had become dislodged. And now it was going to be thrown into Mother Ganga. Now they came to their senses. And Bhishma Dev, Arjuna, Duryodhana, and all the members of the Kuru dynasty came running out. And when they came running out, they fell at the lotus feet of Balramji. And they said, Balramji, please stop this. We have been very, very wrong. We did not understand who you are. And we failed to understand who we are. This is the starting point of our spiritual life. To understand who Krishna is and to understand who we are in relation to Krishna. Forgetfulness of that is a sin. And all the prayaschitta of the world cannot eradicate this sin. When Prabhupada was asked, what is the meaning of sin? He gave a very simple definition. Sin is forgetfulness of Krishna. Every time we forget Krishna in an activity, we have committed sin. But every time our activity is moving in such a way that it is serving Krishna, that activity is not sin. That activity liberates us. That activity frees us. Sin, the test of sinful activity is that it is disturbing to the heart and the mind. Very simple. If you don't know what is a sinful activity, learn it by symptom. Symptomatic of sinful activity is disturbance. You see it in the Kauravas. They fought with Balramji and walked away. But when the hoe went in and the Hastinapur started moving, were they dancing around? No. They were troubled. They could not sleep. They could not do anything. Because they realized that their entire area of which they thought they were the owners was nothing in the hands of the Lord. It's just going to be thrown into the water. Like you would pick up something and throw it into the water. That was what Balram was going to do. So this is what we have to understand. When we are disturbed, the defect is in our devotional practice. The defect is not in other people. The defect is not in the stars. Oh, Rohini, this nakshatram is not right. That Rahu is here and Ketu is there. And you know, Guru is waiting to come out. That's why, you know, I can't chant my rounds. Don't blame your chanting on Guru. And don't say, you know, because the stars are not aligned, I cannot listen to my spiritual master. I have a god brother from Kerala. Never listened to my spiritual master. One day my Guru Maharaj asked him, why is it every time I tell you something you don't hear? He said, it's not my fault. I went to consult an astrologer. And the astrologer told me, your time is very bad. And in this time for 6-7 years, whatever spiritual master tells you, because of dosha, you can't listen. Can you imagine? That's the ultimate way of not obeying your spiritual master, isn't it? Why? Because Maharaj, I'm sorry, time is not right. The mind is ready to find all the reasons, Prabhus and Matajis, for us to move away from the protective power of Balramji. And Lord Balram performed this pastime significant, not Krishna. Why? Because our acharyas say he is Adi Guru. The mood of Adi Guru is that he is heavy. You read the first two lines first, if you read this, Guru Nam is heavy. And then just a few lines down, you'll find another word, Guru, also found as heavy. What is that?
Guruni.
Yeah, Guruni, also heavy. Guru means heavy. So when something drastic happens in the life of a devotee, and he is under the shelter of the spiritual master, The devotee's consciousness is not that, oh, this is because of material energy. No. The devotee understands that the spiritual master's mercy is on me. That's why I'm going through a difficult time. He wants me to learn something. A devotee who thinks that way, he becomes very light-hearted in this world. Nothing touches him. But a devotee who expects, hey, I've taken shelter of Guru, now everything should be fine. Then when something is not fine, I renounce Guru. Then he becomes more disturbed. More disturbed. Now Madhuri is very young. She's only 2 years old. When she grows up, the parents must teach her this. They must teach her that in life, many difficult things will come. But if we take shelter of the all-protective power of Balramji and Krishna, how? By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then all the difficulties, right, they will go. And sometimes, to instill this in us, sometimes Balram has to pick up Hastinapur and threaten to throw it into Mother Ganges. And sometimes, argumentum vaculum, he has to also give us a few slaps and make us wake up. So the next time you are stressed out at work, the only reason why you're stressed is not the work. You're not chanting. Or if you're not chanting, or if you're chanting, then your chanting is not with love. It is not with purity. Another reason why you're disturbed is very simple. How much time are you spending with Bhagavatam? You'll find, as a doctor, you just need to ask the patients these questions and they will tell you, actually, Prabhu, sometimes I look at Bhagavatam. Oh, I always hear lectures. Hearing lectures is good. But when you hear lectures, you have to study the scriptures also. That's why you hear the lectures. If you tell Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I don't study any of Prabhupada's books, but I only hear lectures. You know what Guru Maharaj will tell you? I'm giving the lectures so that you can study the books, man. That's the reason why I give lectures. That's the reason. Do you know, in our society, we did a survey last year in Mayapur, a worldwide survey, on an average, 3 out of 10 devotees are reading Prabhupada's books more than half an hour daily. 3 out of 10. And this includes senior devotees at the highest level. This is a major defect in our movement. And we want to change that. We want to change that. This is very dangerous. We will come to a point where we will just say, all I have to do is hear Prabhupada's books. We don't need Prabhupada's books. Our spiritual masters in the last meeting are so disturbed that they are considering stopping giving lectures and telling everyone to only hear Prabhupada's lecture and study Prabhupada's books. To that point, they have deliberated on this. Because the point of the lectures is to make us fix in Prabhupada's books. But we are not touching the books. We distribute it. But do we scrutinizingly study it? This is the point. That's why it's very important for us to get this. That is the source of our disturbance. The all-protective power of Krishna is found in the holy names. So chanting we miss because we say we have no time. And then we end up chanting on the bus. We end up chanting walking to work. And we say that's part of our rounds. How can they be part of our rounds? Is that really commitment to Krishna? No. It is possible. But because we don't have faith that Krishna is Yogeshwar, we don't do it. We say it's not possible. My time management doesn't allow me to. But that's not true. The desire is lacking. So when that happens, argumentum vaculum. That's why Krishna gives us the disturbances and the slaps of Maya. But we don't realize the reason why Hastinapur is being moved is because of the actions of the residents of Hastinapur. The reason why we are being disturbed is because of our actions. That is why. So please, there is a real strong parallel between Hastinapur being moved and our hearts being uprooted from Krishna. And this is what this pastime is about. That is why this pastime is found in Ajamil's story. Because Ajamil thought that just some prayaschitta here and there, when I do in between, I'll be alright. But the prayaschitta doesn't help. Because by the end of his life, all his sins could not be helped by any amount of atonement. But because he chanted the name of Narayana one time, everything became alright. And we are practicing devotees. Let us take back this point. That the all-protective power of the Lord is not in protecting body. Body is the least of the problems. We know how to protect our body very nicely. We do. We take good care of it. But taking care of our mind and our hearts is the greatest challenge. And that can only be done when we invoke the power of Balaram and Krishna. That means we follow the orders of the spiritual master. What pleases Guru is what should be our life. If it doesn't please Guru, if we cannot stand in front of Guru Maharaj and say, Maharaj, I'm doing this activity because I know you like it, then don't do it. That is unalloyed devotional service. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha agam dunvanti katsyena iham iva nihara bhaskaraha. 6:1:15. We end with this verse. This verse is probably one of the most important verses in Bhagavatam. Prabhupada quoted it so many times in his lectures. And if you do a search in the folio, this is the one verse from the sixth canto that Prabhupada used the most, extensively. And what does it mean? Kechit kevalaya bhaktya. When one adopts unalloyed devotional service, and how is this achieved? Vasudeva parayanaha. You read the synonyms, word to word. Don't just read the translation of this word. Read the synonym. Parayanaha is defined normally as shelter. Vasudeva parayana means to take shelter of Krishna. But Prabhupada gives us a secret to take shelter. You know what he says? Parayanaha. Anyone looking at that verse right now? Prabhu, are you looking at it? What does parayana mean, word to word?
Completely attached.
Completely attached. Okay, that's the start. And then bracket?
Only to such service.
Only to such service.
Without dependence on austerity,
penance,
cultivation of knowledge,
and piety, or pious activities. Okay, let's read it again. Parayanaha. Please repeat. Parayanaha. Then?
Completely attached.
That's the starting point. We must become completely attached to chanting, study of Bhagavatam, and devotional service. But now Prabhupada gives us the clue. What does he say?
Only to such service.
That means, 1 minute, only to such service. Only to such service means the service that makes us become attached to Krishna. The service that makes us attached to our pride is not service. If I am pujari, but I am attached to the pujari service because I am pujari, then we've got it wrong. If I study Bhagavatam because I am attached to becoming scholar, then it's wrong. You see the point? But if I become attached to a service, why? Because it will please Krishna. Because it will help. Tomorrow you're all going to man a lot of stores. Why are you doing that? Because you're attached to it. Because by doing that, you'll bring people to Krishna consciousness. It's alright. It's good. That's what we want. Okay, that's the first thing. Now what does he say?
Without dependence on austerity.
Without dependence on austerity.
Penance. Cultivation of knowledge.
Yes.
Or pious.
These are the four things that very often come to take us away from bhakti. We become unnecessarily attached to austerity. Prabhu, I always wake up for Mangala Arati. You don't, isn't it? You know? My austerity is very good. I can wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and chant, 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 chant. So is it the chanting that's very nice or the fact that you're waking up at 1 o'clock that's very nice? Which one you like? It's very easy to become attached to austerity and penance. Brahmaji in the 3rd canto, 9th chapter, prays specifically to Krishna that even though I did penance for 1,000 years, please let me not be attached to that penance. Don't be attached to that penance. So just because we are chanting very nicely for Mangala Arati or waking up for Mangala Arati doesn't mean we become puffed up. Then we are attached to Krishna. So austerity and penance, Prabhupada warns us. The other thing with austerity and penance is we expect Krishna must reciprocate. Why? Because I woke up for Mangala Arati. Why should it be? Same thing, tomorrow we are going for Rath Yatra. So because I did so much work, Krishna must send 10,000 people. Why? It's up to him. Argumentum vaculum. If tomorrow he wants to use a stick on us and say nobody is going to turn up, then okay, Krishna, sorry, I became puffed up. This is my problem. Okay, fine. What to do? You see? So, we immediately become free of this idea. So, no austerity, no penance attachment. Third? Cultivation of knowledge. This is the other problem. I know 10 shlokas, Prabhu. How many do you know? I don't know, Prabhu. I don't know any shlokas. Prabhu, you don't know how to pronounce. You don't know your short R's, your long A's. You know, sometimes we look at American body devotees and say, what kind of pronunciation is this? Sometimes in our mind, we hear sannyasi chanting, and deep, 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 deep in our heart, we say, my God, I think I can chant better than Maharaj. But of course, I can't say that. That's not very nice. This is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Cultivation of knowledge is not meant to become puffed up. The moment we become puffed up, argumentum vaculum. Krishna will just take it away. What is the point of all the knowledge if we can't translate into behavior? And last point?
Cultivation knowledge or pious activities.
Pious activities. Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with pious activity. Pious activities means you do some piety, you get some fruit. Pious persons are ripe for Krishna consciousness. In case you're thinking, wait a minute, four kinds of people are considered pious, so what's happening? Let me answer that now. Sastras tell us these four pious persons are eligible candidates for devotional service. But when they take up devotional service, don't mix up devotional service with piety. They are different. Otherwise, why we should jump into devotional service? Logic, isn't it? So don't make this devotional service, Prabhu, it's very, very, because I'm being pious, you know, that's why I do all this. No, pious means you want the fruit. And the moment you want fruit, argumentum vaculum. Krishna will knock us. No fruit. There's no fruit from this. This is important. Sometimes devotees say, unalloyed devotional service, very far, Prabhu. Forget it. It's like in Siberia. Why to think so far, you know? Let's go to Malaysia. But that was never Prabhupada's way. Prabhupada say, if you want to aim to bring down an animal, what do? Do you aim for an ant or you aim for a rhinoceros? You have to aim for the rhinoceros. Then maybe you'll be able to shoot the ant. Isn't it? But if you want to aim for the ant, you probably shoot the bacteria. Maybe. Maybe. So please cut the idea that, you know what, Bhagavatam is too high. Unalloyed devotional service, forget about it. So what do? Sense verification. Then argumentum vaculum comes. Then we become disturbed. Why am I in this movement? And then we leave. No. If you read Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada wanted every devotee to become pure devotee, every devotee to become guru. He wanted thousands of gurus in our movement. Not 75 gurus. He wanted thousands of gurus. He said each guru must go out. Become spiritual master, go out. Now Prabhu is staying here. You can become guru of block 106. Why not? Become their siksha. Give them the beads. Right? You may not give them names, but you can give them beads. That's alright. But if you say, after giving beads today, every day come dakshina, give me this prasadam, that one, I don't want to cook. Now that becomes fruitive activity. Then we are not Vasudeva Parayanaha. This is the meaning of Vasudeva Parayanaha. Do you see how deep this point is? Vasudeva Parayanaha. That's all. Only Parayanaha. We took 10 minutes on it. This is what Prabhupada says. And those who do this, what happens? Agham dunvanti katsena. Whatever sin that's in the heart is uprooted from the root. Have you tried in India burning grassland? You try burning it from the ground, what happens? In 2 months, everything grows. In fact, they grow higher. Isn't it? We always do that. In Panvel, we have land. First time, we went there and our Guru Maharaj told us, burn the land. Okay, I burned the land. 2 months later, I came back. Oh, how come, you know, it's all coming up like that? Maharaj said, because you're a city man, you don't know what is happening. The point is, you have to do what we call peat, P-E-A-T. You have to really go to the ground, underground, and root out the seeds. Then they will not grow. Otherwise, even the burning power of prayas chitta is not going to take out forgetfulness of Krishna. This is an important point. If you substitute sin for forgetfulness, this verse becomes very illuminating. All the prayas chitta cannot eliminate forgetfulness of Krishna. The only thing that can eliminate forgetfulness of Krishna is sincere adherence to sadhana bhakti. That is the only way. So follow the four regulative principles. Chant your 16 rounds pakka as much as you can. If you're going to lose sleep, lose sleep. If you're going to die tomorrow, die tomorrow. At least you die trying to chant. It's better. Nothing goes wrong. If supposing you die in Mangalarati, what happens? You become liberated. Maybe even you go back to Krishna. Is there any loss? There's no loss. But if you died in Mangalarati while sleeping in bed, not remembering Krishna, then what's the fun? You're going to come back again. So this is the point of this beautiful story, that the Kauravas, they believed that they were powerful. But they did not understand that without Krishna, our power is nothing. So we should understand that without Vasudeva and without taking Parayana of Vasudeva, then whatever activities we do, it will come to nothing. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. I can take a question or two for 2 minutes and then we can end. Yes, Tulsi Charan Prabhu.
Thanks for wonderful class, and you also emphasize on the quality to devotional service, especially chanting as well.
Yes.
But one of the biggest obstacles which I can see from chanting is sleeping. Every night we determine, like, okay, I will get up in so much time and chant quality around before I stay away, so that we can do quality service. But the problem is when we wake up the alarm and see already 1 hour or 1.5 hour past, obviously, the home should control the sleep, regulate the sleep so that we can do quality chant.
It depends also practically on how much sleep you need, Prabhu. How much do you need? Generally, do you need 8 hours? Do you need 7 hours?
Six hours?
So if you sleep at 12, can you? What time is your Mangla Arati?
6:30.
So if you sleep at 12, you can wake up at 6. So is it possible that you sleep by 12? Is it difficult generally, or do you sleep later than 12?
No, it's
11:30. 11:30, right? So if 11:30 you sleep and you tell yourself, I should have more than enough sleep. Then when the alarm goes off, Prabhu, whether you feel like it or not, tell your mind, I have enough sleep.
The problem is we determine that we sleep 5 hours and get up at 5 o'clock.
Then you sleep by 11. Then you manage your life in such a way that you sleep by 11. Do you come home by 11 o'clock?
No.
You come home earlier, isn't it? You come home by 8, Prabhu?
7:38.
So from 7:30 to 8, between that time till 11, you can get everything done. And you should take rest. If you are determined to do that, Krishna will arrange that time that you need to do in a much shorter time. But if you sacrifice something, a lower thing for a higher cause, He will take care of that which you think you are going to lose. So for example, for me, if I have overseas calls to make, I have to stay up till 12:01. But whatever happens, I tell myself, by Krishna's mercy, I have to wake up to chant. And if I have to chant, let me wake up and chant and then go to sleep. So because the priority is to wake up and chant first, Krishna allows you to wake up. He will allow you to wake up. Alarm or no alarm, He will allow you to wake up. And if the mind keeps telling you that I need a lot of sleep, Prabhu, then you will sleep. But if the mind, if you tell your mind, actually, you know what, you only need 5 hours sleep, nothing is going to happen to us, we won't die, then you find 5 hours is fine. So actually, practically, devotional service comes down to actions. If you need 6 hours sleep, sleep earlier. When you travel for yatras, you realize by 9 o'clock, lights out. We can immediately wake up at 3, isn't it? No problems, isn't it? But in our lives in Singapore, we really have to ask ourselves, how important it is really for us to stay up till 11? What is it that we are doing up to 11? Is it work problem? May not be work. Maybe it's catching up with family. But catching up with family, children would have slept by 11, generally. So the catching up with family occurs up to 9:30, 10. And after that, by 10:30, try to wind down everything. Try. This is where you have to use argumentum vaculum. You have to knock yourself and tell yourself, I have to cut this, I have to cut that so that I can sleep. You have to give up something for Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna won't give up anything. He'll say, what do you want to give up for me? How important am I? Give it up. And the more you give up, the closer you become. So you must challenge yourself. Devotional life is about coming out of the comfort zone and challenging yourself. So I find personally this is very helpful. It's very helpful. And if you do this, Prabhu, and you get 6 hours of decent sleep from 12 to 6, is very sufficient. Even 11 to 5 is more than sufficient. We are not even asking you all to wake up at 3 o'clock. And then when you do this for some time, you find that the mind cooperates with you. The body cooperates with you. Because the body is purely, purely a suggestive creature. What your mind goes, your body will follow. Mind says, 6 hours I can sleep, I don't need more. 5 hours is fine, it's fine. Body will follow through. If supposing today is your last day, and tomorrow morning you will leave your body, will you wake up by 6? You will, Prabhu. You will. That's the idea. To inculcate the feeling that tomorrow may not be tomorrow. If you can develop that feeling, then when the alarm clock goes off, you say, what if today was my last day? Okay, fine, I better wake up. Personally, this has helped me a lot. This has helped me a lot. So practically, you should try. We should try. And when this happens after 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, when you go to ashram or you become vanaprastha, sleeping at 9, Prabhu, you'll be up by 1:30. You'll be up by 1:30 bright and fine, and you chant all your rounds before Mangalarti starts. It can happen. Krishna is Yogeshwar. He can give you enough sleep in 2 hours if he wants. Because he can do anything. But we think he can't. We think we need that sleep. But Krishna is Yogeshwar. If we take shelter of him, we don't need anything. We just need to follow Krishna. It's possible. It is possible. Try. Try until you can't try. Or try until you die. Either way, Krishna will reward you. But we must try. We must try and try and try. Fail, 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 doesn't matter. But try, try, try. That's more important. That's more important. Remember Madhavendra Puri's last line of his prayer. Let me not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, even though I am unable to do so. That is his last prayer. The last of his last prayer before he leaves this world. Let me not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, even though I am unable to do so. He's saying, I can't do it, but let me not budge from the determination. So Krishna not seeing whether you wake up 6 or 7. Krishna is seeing how determined you are to wake up. Try that. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Amazing verse, which statement which we heard in the previous class was that renunciation is the sustaining force of the following of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How is this and consistent with not being attached to austerity or something like that?
Renunciation is performed so that we can control our senses and achieve a higher taste. Renunciation on its own, no value. So the goal of renunciation is to render devotional service to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us that the more we renounce our senses, the more we attach to Krishna's senses. That is why renunciation is considered very important. It's important because it is the bridge between control of our senses and surrendering our senses to Krishna. But if we control our senses very nicely, but we don't direct them to Krishna, eventually the senses will control us again. That's the whole point. It's like I have a beautiful car, but where do you want to drive it to? Where? No, I just want to park it and watch it every day. Okay, but then why, you know? You drive to reach someplace. So we renounce to reach at a place. Why we wake up early? Why are we renouncing our sleep? Because we want to render bhakti. If you keep telling this to Krishna, Krishna will allow you to wake up. He wants to know what your objective is. If your objective is just that I must get this sleeping factor all right, it's wrong. But if you tell Krishna, I'm doing this so that I can attain you, I can attain you, I can attain you. Okay, fine, he's got it right. Now I will let him do it. That's what he will do. Is that okay, Prabhu? Prabhu, you had one last question. Sorry, one and then Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
But many times we try to just focus on what is going wrong or what I'm doing wrong. But the circumstances and surrounding things always come in the picture. So how we should rectify it?
The best way to rectify when you have problems is to discuss it in confidence with a devotee who is inspiring, who is advanced. Because self-analysis is very difficult. Self-analysis in Vaishnava culture is no analysis. Generally. My experience, self-analysis means no analysis. Conclusion analysis, everybody's fault still. It's not my fault. But when you sit with your guru, or you sit with Diksha, Siksha gurus, and you sit down, they will gently, or argumentum vaculum, whichever way they want to use, depending on how far we are, they will gently or forcefully pull you back. That's why we have a society. So we can open our minds and speak about this. Like Tulsi Charan Prabhu, it takes a lot of courage to say that this is a challenge. Why is he doing that? Because he recognizes the value of sharing this. And we're all struggling with this question. Every single one of us, every day, till our last breath, this is a problem for us. Waking up, waking up. In fact, you know, the outside world sees us as a cult because they say, you people, you know how you all are controlled? By depriving you of sleep. You want to know the cult theory? The cult theory is Prabhupada started ISKCON to control people so that the less sleep you have, right, you come under a state of more control. You know, when people investigate you, they put you in a chamber, ice cold, then they make you stay up for 48 hours. After 48 hours of not sleeping, you say, I murdered 10 people. Let me sign confession so I can sleep. Please, I just need to sleep. I murdered everyone. I'm going to murder you also. So from a material plane, if you discuss these things, it becomes very bad. But find a spiritual preceptor, and that will be very helpful. One last question. Yes, Prabhu. Lakshman.
He did not take advice from, I suppose, he did not take advice from Lord Krishna or Balaram.
Yes.
Still, Lord Krishna and Balaram, you know, are protected.
Yes.
So, to what extent do you want him to take advice or
very nice question. They protected him and did not protect him. Because Samba did not consult with his father on whether he should abduct someone, the result was he was defeated. The result was he was kidnapped. So actually, he's doing it without auspiciously invoking the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Turned out to be a failure. But because he is under the extreme shelter and mercy of Krishna, despite his wrongs, despite his mistakes, just like all of us, Krishna overlooks it. And what does he see? The essence of the devotional mentality. That is why we are connected by Guru to Krishna. So that concession is always available for us. And that is why Samba was eventually, he was eventually saved. But Krishna always does many things in one shot. Krishna also knew that the Kuru dynasty was becoming a bit puffed up. So he used Samba as an instrument to poke them into showing how proud they are. And then cut it also by Balaramji coming and literally taking an entire city and throwing it. That is the greatness of Krishna. So Samba's problem was he did not consult. But at the same time, Samba's great gift was he was always under the shelter of Krishna. So as long as we are under the shelter of Krishna, no matter how much difficulties we have with sleep, Krishna still gives us so many avenues to advance. What a nice preaching program you're doing. Technically speaking, if I was a very strict person, Prabhu, you're not sleeping, you're not waking up Mangalati at 4 o'clock, cannot do preaching program. What kind of a movement is this then? Despite all our misgivings, Krishna wanted every one of us with our defects to preach, to reach out, to become his ambassadors. That's why Prabhu's Matajis, be kind to a devotee when they make mistakes. Be open-hearted when you feel hurt by them. They don't want to hurt you. But they are also harassed by the three modes of material nature. A devotee who feels that way is friendly with everyone. Does that help, Prabhu? Jai Granthara Sriman Bhagavatam Ki.
Jai.
Thank you, Prabhu, Mataji, for having us over. And thank you to the birthday girl. Where is the birthday girl? Huh? Is she going to give us some darshan soon? Should we chant 5 minutes before we wrap up? Sorry, my harmonium is sick today. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal Jaya Jaya.
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 Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya.
Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya.
Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya.
Radha Ramana Hari
Jaya Jaya Gopal Jaya Jaya.
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal Jaya Jaya.
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal Jaya Jaya.
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal Jaya Jaya.
Radha Ramana Hari Govinda 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 Jaya Jaya.
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal 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 Jaya Jaya.
Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Jaya Jagannath Swami Jaya Jagannath.
Jaya
Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jagannath Swami Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra.
Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra.
Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra.
Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare
Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ji Ki
Jai
Shri La Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Shri La Gurudev Ki
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanana. When I chose the verse, I had no idea that Balaram Ji is the main deity here with Krishna. See, if Krishna wants, who can stop anything? This is not accident. This is the Lord's arrangement. He chooses. He selects. Otherwise, why of all the verses in the whole Bhagavatam, I should choose this verse? I do a way of choosing. I just open the and choose. This is what I do. And this is what came. And it's about Samba. And of all people, the main person in this transcendental pastime is Balaramji. And I did not look at the altar properly. And then when I looked again, I hey, this is Balaram. How is it possible? This shows us devotional service is not fiction. It is real. It is real. Please take it up nicely. Hare Krishna. So tonight, His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj will speak. And Maharaj will be speaking on devotee care. Because he told me yesterday that this entire Jagannath Rath Yatra is devotee care. You were there for yesterday? How was the... It was good? Nice.